Marco Werman, and this is The World. If you're looking for President Obama this week, leave a message. He'll be in the Arctic. Today, Obama embarked on a three-day tour of Alaska, where he'll venture north of the Arctic Circle. That'll be a first for a sitting president. His focus will be on how a warmer climate is changing the far north. The president will be attending an international conference that is dealing with that. It is a big, big deal. Melting ice is increasingly opening up the region to shipping and oil drilling. But the U.S. lags behind other nations like Russia in pressing its claims on the Arctic. Anchorage-based reporter Elizabeth Arnold recently had the chance to hop aboard a Russian icebreaker in the Chukchi Sea between Alaska and Siberia. She says she immediately noticed something.
There are definitely more vessels transiting this area than you would think, and that's largely because there's less ice.
You know, several years now, Russia, Canada, Norway especially, have been hot on the Arctic. And the U.S. seems almost to be taking a back seat. I mean, you can just see that in the sheer numbers of icebreakers. Why is that, though?
Well, let's just talk about the conference that's coming up right now. We have not really even we didn't even attend these meetings for at least 13 years. The first person to attend one of these meetings, even though we are an Arctic nation, was Hillary Clinton. But we're starting to now. In terms of territory, we can't submit claims because we haven't signed the law of the sea. We'd have a much stronger hand if we would ratify that treaty, which we initiated, but that's been stalled in the Senate, where some are loath to join anything that has anything to do with the UN. So far, Russia's been the most aggressive in terms of pursuing claims. However, Denmark, Norway, and Canada are also submitting claims to the UN that all involve the North Pole.
We've kind of seen a split personality when it comes to climate change with the Obama administration. He goes up to the Arctic, as he is now, to draw attention to climate change, but also he allows Shell to drill up there. Is the U.S. lagging behind because it's part of the argument to leave the Arctic alone, leave fossil fuels in the ground? But then how does that square with giving permission to Shell to drill?
Well, he doesn't see it that way. He sees it that basically he's up here trying to get people to focus on the dire consequences of climate change. And yes, he's given the go-ahead to Shell, but they say we need new sources of domestic oil for a gradual transition from dependence on fossil fuels. But, you know, it is risky. You know, I was out on this icebreaker for a couple of weeks, and it was, you know, 20-foot seas. There's a storm out in the Chukchi this past week that Shell suspended drilling. The coast has been just pounded by the storm surge. Kerry described it as a test, this drilling. He said he's always been leery of offshore drilling, but in this case, the leases were sold, and the president believes it can be done in a safe way, but that Shell has to prove itself.
What do you think, Elizabeth, is the key piece here of this story for people to keep in mind over the next 3 days with Obama up in the Arctic?
You know, I think what's happening here, there's a lot of talk about legacy, but more importantly, the president and the White House, they really are trying to focus Americans on what's happening up here. And what's happening up here really is dire. And, you know, you can look at it in two different ways. You know, warming temperatures and receding ice can be both a curse and a blessing. Here in Alaska, it's meant extreme weather, especially on the coast, false storms that wipe out villages, permafrost no longer permanent, rainfall instead of snow. And that's really, there's a lot of impact on Alaska natives, most of whom live on the coast and depend on hunting and fishing, a subsistence way of life. On the other hand, less ice means open water and minerals and oil gas development for industry, and that's a good thing for industry, a longer, safer season and better transit routes for shipping. What has to happen at some point is the nations that are all involved in this, the eight Arctic nations, have to decide whether this is going to be a race for territory and a race for economic gain, or whether they're going to work together more in an Antarctica fashion and think about common resources and common good.
That was reporter Elizabeth Arnold in Anchorage. One stop on President Obama's tour of Alaska this week is the town of Dillingham. The president's expected to spend time there talking about how climate change is affecting local residents. Dillingham City Councilman Paul Liedberg knows about the symptoms of climate change. Mr. Liedberg, if you had a few minutes to discuss what you're seeing with climate change in Dillingham, what would you tell him?
Well, I guess the first thing I would tell him is how important the environment and intact habitats are up here to support the species that we have, specifically the salmon. And the habitat we have is one of the greatest assets for the region and for Dillingham. And the commercial salmon fishing in Bristol Bay has been going on for 130 years now. You know, salmon need two areas to survive. They need the rivers and streams where they hatch their eggs and are reared for a period of time. And then they need the oceans where they are maturing and growing. And warmer temperatures in the oceans will affect both of those. And that's a critical concern, I would say, to the region.
And what do you believe, what do the people of Dillingham believe Washington and President Obama can do about that?
Well, you know, if we could wave a magic wand and assure that the conditions remain in place to support the habitat that we have and the salmon runs that we have, that would be the thing that we would want.
Give us a snapshot of Dillingham. Tell us what the place looks like, because I'm talking to you from a very hot and humid northeast of the U.S. So the scenery sure. there is like, what does it look like?
Well, first of all, we're located in Bristol Bay, which is 300 miles or so to the southwest of Anchorage. We are a coastal community, so we get tides from the Bering Sea and from Bristol Bay affecting us here. It is flat along the immediate coast, but then just a few miles inland, we get mountains that rise up to the highest peak is about 5,000 feet here.
Mm. Have you lost any shoreline to erosion?
Well, we certainly have. I'm not sure that there have been real accurate studies that have been done showing exactly how much we're losing, but all one has to do is to travel down to the beach here, a couple miles from my house, either direction, and you can see constant erosion taking place. You know, that erosion is coming from a number of sources, from the water, from ice, from wind, from groundwater that seeps out through the bluffs. And with projections for more storms and higher sea levels related to climate change, we're certainly expecting that to not only continue, but probably increase.
Do you have any idea why President Obama is choosing Dillingham to visit?
Well, I think he has understood and certainly recognized some of the issues that I brought up and understanding that there are certainly threats to that economy, the economy of the commercial fishing. And I think he probably just wants to recognize that and gain better understanding of the region and what the region provides goes well beyond just our small part of the world.
Paul Liedberg, a city councilman in Dillingham, Alaska, one of the stops on President Obama's 3-day tour of the state. Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.